Innovation, disruption, and big issues. This is Business Game Changers with Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. Today we are going to be looking at something that I usually don't venture into. And the reason we are is because I had a lot of people come to me and say, why don't you cover this? It's different, and there's a lot of information behind this. And then one of my friends introduced me to Patty Greer, and this was about a year and a half ago, and I watched her movie called Crop Circle Diaries. There's a lot of science in it, and it started making me think, gosh, there really is something here. And then I started wondering, why are people so scared to even think about crop circles and adventure? Because if you venture into that, you kind of look like a weirdo and a goofball. And so I wanted to look into it, and I realized that back in the late 80s and the 90s, people took it very seriously. The mass media, the governments, they were spending lots of money studying crop circles. And then all of a sudden it disappeared overnight. And then they started saying that there's these two guys making it with boards, and they didn't look anything like the real crop circles. It's very obvious when you go in. There's footprints in the fake ones, and there's the way the stocks are broken are different. There's a difference between those crop circles and the ones that people are really saying are made by these light orbs. And so I started wondering, you know, what? And then I saw this university study that was done recently, this class in this this university class, biology and plant science. And this PhD, they went and they looked at all this, and they couldn't figure out. They tried to figure out how they actually did it with the nodes bursting and the expansion of nodes, and they could not figure out how it was accomplished. So I started hearing some of those things, and I thought, you know, and then these crop circles are made quickly, very 20 seconds, they just, the whole thing is made. And I'm like, okay, I gotta get more information on this. And so I ended up, well, actually, Patty Greer reached out to me, and I was really glad she did, because I wanted to talk to her, because the other thing that was really interesting about that situation was she is one of the most decorated filmmakers in history. Her films aren't UFO-based, they're crop circle-based, but she's won more awards than almost anybody, and even though she's won all these awards, they're not getting out. They're not being distributed, and I was trying to figure out, why is it that her films are not out there in the marketplace when she's won the People's Choice Award, and this industry is exploding. So movies like hers that have won all these People Choice Awards and all these other awards at the international conferences would be the kind of movies that would be getting out there, and they're not. So from a pure business standpoint, I couldn't understand why that was happening. So I wanted to bring her on for two reasons. One, I wanted to understand this whole crop circle. Is there anything behind this? And then I wanted to understand the business side of it, why her movies aren't out there. So for me, this is different. I try to take I got an engineering background and I got a business background. So I look at things in a more of a logical standpoint, and I always want to have facts and things behind it. And Patty comes from more of a intuitive, you know, she has a different perspective on this, but that's okay. I wanted to hear what she had to say and, you know, what the science was that she knew behind this. So that being said, this is a very interesting two-part show on crop circles and the business behind the whole UFO, the whole alternative, that whole industry that I don't know much about. So let's get into this episode now with Patty Greer.
Happy trails.
Hi, Patty. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. You are one of the most decorated filmmakers probably in history now. When you compare it to even the regular film, and won so many awards in the UFO documentary arena, although I don't know if what you do is really UFO, but you are one of the most decorated film documentary people in history, and I really wanted to bring you on because your latest film about crop circles is very scientifically based, and you brought a lot of information out there that people didn't know before. So I want to start with, when did you start looking at crop circles and why?
I started in 2006 because I was dealing with a really bad case of mercury poisoning. I used to trust dentists. I used to let them put nitrous on my nose. And for $6,000, I paid for white porcelain fillings, woke up with a mouthful of new mercury. So it nailed me. And the man was got off free. Not a lawyer in the country will go against a dentist poisoning people. So I was in a difficult place where all the doctors are also not allowed to tell you the truth about mercury poisoning. I finally gave up after 2 years and went to England and laid in a crop circle. That's why I went. I tried every kind of medicine, every kind of doctor. C60 wasn't on the radar yet, but I couldn't heal. And it took me, I'm still 14 years after being poisoned, still dealing with it because the doctor was such a slob, which he meant to be. You know, when people back at the top of this century know that mercury fillings are toxic, that mercury vaccines are toxic, the industry, I believe, has a lot of doctors and dentists willing to take care of those people and shut them up. And I think I went to one of those dentists, unfortunately, because I knew stuff back then. And so I got dosed. But I am a survivor. So
what did you do? When you said that you were poisoned, was it poisoned to the point where you were going to lose your life and you were feeling awful? Or was it just that you were sick and your body had to slowly get over it?
My body had to quickly get over it, but it's really difficult when they load in that much. I only had a few body elements that went sour, but they were very difficult elements. My fingertips. And I was a professional harpist, so it killed my music industry immediately. The only other thing that mercury did to me was it caused me to have terrible, terrible business acumen. I've always been very successful, very wealthy, and I don't mean very wealthy, but I've always made enough money to have a beautiful life. And as soon as I got poisoned, I just kept inviting in the worst people in the world, so it changed everything for me. And when I realized my discernment was gone, that's when I said, oh my God, I need to go somewhere else and get a different frequency of healing. And that's, again, why I went to England. I saw some friends that had just come back from the crop circles. They were not the same. Now, these are people I'd known for years. And I was like, hey, hug, hug, where you been? What's different about you? I mean, it was just, it stopped me cold because my work is all intuition, intuitive, telepathic. I don't work on the third dimensional level. None of these movies were made with research or me studying other people's work. I made 8 films by going in crop circles. I made 8 films by learning to listen at 3 in the morning to what I was being taught. And then when I'd wake up, I'd do what I was told, which is so not within my character. But once my body was compromised by the mercury, I had to leave my three-dimensional life because I was no longer in a position. I was no longer doing all those things I used to do when I was rich and shallow. And all of a sudden, my entire life turned into this empath nature and a complete desire to be in crop circles, morning, noon, and night. And that was after I had experienced how amazing they are. Well, so my first experience, I knew. I was walking in a tram line, and the hair went up on my arms, goosebumps head to toe, tingles, and I was like, oh my God, I don't even see a crop circle, but my body is going through something that is not of this dimension. That was my very first experience. And then 10 feet further, there it is, laid down, impeccable, crystalline walls. Oh, it's amazing.
Well, let me ask you, we are, you know, our body is an electrical being. And do you think that you have a different frequency electrically when you're in the crop circle?
Absolutely. Yeah.
From a scientific base?
Well, I'm not a scientist, so I can't say it as a scientist would. As a human being who knew nothing, all I knew was my body was not feeling as it was 10 feet ago. And I would experiment because not only does the formation itself of the crop circle pattern have this enhanced electromagnetic field, but it has an umbrella that goes 10 or 20 feet out that you can feel before you arrive. But again, I say that as a sensitive empath. A lot of people don't feel anything. On the other hand, I have photos of my last boyfriend's arms before I scared him to death, but I took him in a crop circle, and as soon as I felt it and I saw the goosebumps on my arm, I just slightly turned around and looked at him, and he was like this. I'm not going to pretend, you know, as we were walking in. And then I looked at him, and he was like this. And I mean, the photos of his goosebumps, you could see a block away.
Because, see, I'm an engineer. That's my background. And so I look at everything from a scientific standpoint and, you know, mathematical standpoint. And I always think there's a reason behind things, even for, you know, empaths like you. If you're maybe being able to communicate in a different frequency, I always think that there's something there. And because if it is, it has to have some reason, right? Has it been measured? Like, have people actually brought equipment out there and from 10 to 20 feet out been able to see different frequencies?
I don't know that because I don't work with toys and machines. I do bring a pendulum. So again, I don't really interact with a lot of researchers because now that I've made my films, now that I've discovered the fact that the balls of light, making the only footage that humanity knew about were the balls of light, laid the crop circle down in seconds. I didn't know that Rockefeller paid some famous guy to tell the world they were fake and everybody went back to sleep.
Because they're used to every single major news media outlet used to cover these and were taking it very seriously. And they paid a lot of money to do research on this. I was doing research before the show and I realized there are universities studying it. Major media outlets were looking at it and all of a sudden it disappeared.
Yeah. I think the reason that I've been hacked since 2013, 2 years after I finished my first four films and they got hidden by both distributors I trusted. The reason I think I got hacked was because I think they were doing remote viewing and perhaps they knew that I was the girl that was going to work with Levengood's real research. William Levengood is the only scientist that I know of in history that proved without a doubt that crop circles are a real Earth phenomenon. They're not some woo-woo, gaga, UFO thing where they want to, you know, make it all seem like a fake phenomena. This is really scientifically proven, and you are going to love, but you watched Crop Circle Diaries now twice, my final film. In that film, I mean, I had to sit there at Penny Kelly's house. Now, Penny Kelly is the greatest secret in crop circle history because she was the real scientist partner of William Levengood, but nobody ever heard about her because she was humble, she was brilliant, and she didn't want the PR. William Levengood already dealt with the, I call them the maggots, the hackers, and they did something horrific to him to create him to have a bad reputation.
What did they do?
You saw it in the movie where William Levengood was not highly social, and he only had one little glitch, which was that he had a speech impediment if he was intimidated. If people got in his face, got rude, you know, threw shit at him, whatever, excuse my language. But, you know, I mean, it would take a large amount of intimidation, and then he would start stuttering. And so he was up for his PhD. He was well beyond educated, and when he went for the final meeting with the three people on the panel, one of them had been removed, and a bad man was put in that person's place who hated Levengood, and he gave Levengood a test, and he said, if you can answer this question, then we will let you pass your PhD, and it was ridiculous. He had already done plenty to pass. But this guy was, you know, put in by whomever to cause him to have issues. So Penny Kelly described this in the film, that Lefty went home and he went in the lab and sure enough, he didn't eat, he didn't drink, he didn't sleep for like a month. He figured the guy's problem out, came back, and for the final meeting, he had the answer. Well, you can imagine, here's this egocentric man paid by bad people, and Lefty nailed the question. Lefty Levengood. The man was so furious that he got up, got in Lefty's face, and was starting to do this with his finger, you know, on his chest, like getting in his face. He had to intimidate him to the point where he couldn't speak. And sure enough, Lefty fell for it because the guy got extremely aggressive, and Lefty got up and walked out because the man was yelling, "If you can't speak, you're not going to pass. We're not going to let you." Now, there's two other humans there. I don't understand how he got away with that other than money. But it turned out that Lefty, he's like, "You screwy humans." And he walked out and never looked back. And he said, "Who needs a PhD? It's paper. I want to go back to my lab and do the work that I was brought here to do." So he masters the science of crop circles. He doesn't care about the PhD, but one day he gets a letter from the Academy of Science in Washington, and they invited him to come and do a lecture. And they said, you know, at the bottom of the contract, "Please send us a copy of your PhD." And he wrote back, "I'm ever so sorry, but I walked out. They sent in some intimidator, and I don't have a PhD." And they wrote him back and said, "Without a doubt, you either have to have the education or the paper. We consider you to absolutely be a doctor of science, and we will be honored for you to come." So Lefty was like, "Great, I knew I didn't need the paper." But those same entities that were brought in to get in his face and make him walk out, then they hired new people to say, "He's pretending to be a doctor." And that's how they somehow pretended that he was a phony. Still today, I am seeing one of the top guys in England whose every other word starts with an F on all of his videos, but he's the only one still running with Levengood as a liar because he called himself a doctor. Anybody that does that is either uneducated or paid by the other team. But Lefty was without a doubt beyond educated to have his PhD. And he wrote more scientific papers for science journals than anyone else on Earth. Penny thinks that he's somewhere in the Guinness Book of World Records for his number of brilliant papers, but I couldn't find it, so I'm not sure, but she thought he was. So here I am, working with Penny Kelly, who's finally telling me the real science of crop circles. I've already made 6 movies. She's hurting my brain. I'm at her house for 3 days for the wake. A year after he died, I stayed 3 weeks, called in a film crew after a week because my brain was hurting. I'd sit there every morning holding my head with coffee and I'd say, "Tell me again, how are crop circles happening?" And she laughed at me like, "Take your hands off your head, Patty, you look so silly. I told you yesterday," and I said, "I'm really serious. It actually hurts my brain. You are expanding my thinking and it physically hurts. Tell me. How are they happening?" I mean, literally, I just felt so silly. But it took 5 days to really get the science because it is so different than what we were told.
Well, let's get into that science. But first, before we do that, have crop circles been all throughout history? It's not just a recent phenomena.
We've seen them documented since the 1700s. And, you know, we've seen spaceships, of course, and all the hieroglyphs from thousands of years ago. So perhaps some of those sacred geometry patterns could have been something they saw in the earth. But documented we have since the late 1700s, 1800s, we saw lots of them. But they weren't really brought to society until about 1980s, 90s, when they were just overpowering the internet because there were too many of them to hide. Well, and the thing about and UFOs is that the media, you know, they want to make a farce of all of this, but crop circles are the only UFO phenomena that leaves acres of biophysical evidence that's undeniable. So I don't know how they're getting away with it, but they are hiding it.
Well, they're pretty large, right? How large do they get?
They can be a 10-foot diameter up to 4 acres laid. I mean, we've seen a crop circle. Do you remember the spin of Fibonacci sequence that had 409 circles?
Mm-hmm.
That is such an incredible crop circle. And my friend Charles, who owned the research center until last year when he quit, when everything over there quit, But he told me that he was in that formation first thing in the morning. It was rainy all night. It was muddy everywhere. And he walked the entire perimeter. He said there wasn't a footprint in sight.
That's amazing. Okay, so the idea is that, I mean, there's a big difference between man-made ones and ones that are made somehow, which you're going to talk about. The man-made ones have a pretty distinct difference, right?
Oh, yeah.
And what when, is...
Well, you know, they used Doug and Dave, those two old fools, for years. You know, it's all... The Doug and Dave made all the ones in England this summer, you know, but they didn't mention bothering to explore the fact that, well, did they make the one in Argentina and the Netherlands and Italy that night? Because if Doug and Dave really did make all the crop circles and traveled to those other countries and continents, they're traveling at the speed of light. They're ET anyway, so what's the diff?
Yeah, they made, because they're all made the same night by Doug and Dave with their boards in four different countries.
And people fell for it. I mean, people still believe that crop circles are fake. And it was a couple of old guys. And didn't that story go away? And then when sweet Colin Andrews said, oh, those balls of light making the crop circles are fake. And I proved it with the secret detectives and the Nippon TV team. I was like, everybody believed it. And they went to sleep. And Uncle Lawrence Rockefeller went, that was good.
Why? Why are they hiding this? I don't. Why do they want everybody to think? I mean, because they spent a lot of money research. They would have spent a lot of money if they would have thought that it was man-made and two goofballs making it. It would have been obvious, and they wouldn't have spent millions of dollars, and all these people, they wouldn't have spent all their time. And then suddenly, they started putting out the other information. Why do you think that is?
Again, I think it was remote viewing. They were scared that the crappie girl was going to come public with the fact that the seeds inside crop circles, if treated like Lefty did in the lab, will grow 30 to 400% more food and biofuel per seed, with up to 75% more nutrition per plant. And those seeds, tested repeatedly in the lab, grew when conditions were too hot, too cold, too wet, and too dry. So what's happening in crop circles with these spinning plasma vortices that we will explain in a minute is that they are actually creating super seeds that have the ability to bring back our entire food supply, bring back our organic seeds, and Lefty and Penny did re-engineer a machine in the lab to recreate this technology. So we have the ability to bring back the food supply through understanding the plasma technologies in crop circles. And I think they knew that the information was about to hit in my final film, Crop Circle Diaries. But like I said, I've been in 100 crop circles. I made 6 films. I had no idea that crop circles were growing super seeds. I had no idea somebody would find it in their best interest to spend, I don't know, $500,000 hacking me last year. So a nice woman.
So they after you put this film out, they started hacking you. So what do you mean they were hacking you? And who's they?
They started hacking me in 2013. They started hacking me when I first hit PBS with my movie, The Wake-Up Call, Crop Circle Update, The Wake-Up Call. Now, when I made my first film, I knew nothing. I was green, but I was filled with mercury. And the thing about mercury poisoning that I learned from literally a rocket scientist who has his free energy paint up on the space shuttle today, he explained to me that mercury has two elements. And the amount that I had in me, red zone, I should have been brain dead. The intention of the dentist was to make me brain dead. But because I have used a different kind of natural medicine my whole life, not my whole life, but my adult life, I had natural medicine in me that took me to the right instead of the left. His intention was to destroy my life because I already knew that mercury was going to hurt a lot of people. But instead, because I had a really healthy system, I went the opposite direction. And so when I went to the crop circles the first year, I was so stunned that, you know, the hair standing up, the goosebumps, the tingles, I was blown away. But I was also with family member that I needed to behave in front of, you know, one of my children. And so I was like, oh my God, I cannot wait to come back next summer alone, because I'm going to not leave the crop circles. I'm going to be in them at night. I'm going to sleep in them. I mean, visions of grandeur. You don't sleep in a crop circle. So, but I did sit on the hills and watch for the balls of light a lot. So what happened with the Mercury was that because I tangented to the right, I had never had the intellect that I do today. Instead of going brain dead, I went brain bright, which nobody explained to me until this rocket scientist. And the thing about Mercury and the reason they're trying to keep cannabis illegal is that the cannabis oil had wrapped around my brain stem and protected me while this dentist did his dirty work. And instead of going, I went like this. And all of a sudden, that's when my empathy, my telepathy, unbelievable, kicked in. And all those years I was in England, high as a kite on Mercury, on some level, the only gift it gave me was that I was completely fearless. That's how the movies happened. Mercury was part of the process. Ultimately, I probably need to thank the dentist, even though he's a mad hatter, he's insane. I don't know how there wasn't one lawyer in America that would sue him, except it's America. So we're at a point where the good stuff's being hidden, the lies are being pumped out, the medical institutions are really trying to poison people with the air, the water, the food, and here we have the earth. The earth, a living, beautiful goddess being, the mother. And here she is, this living being that's full of life. And people think we're just standing on some piece of dirt, really minimizing that the earth is a living being. We grow hair, she grows trees. We have blood, she has oil. So now we're looking at, is it possible that Lefty could be correct, that crop circles are coming out of the earth? They're not coming out of the sky. And that's when Penny started to hurt my brain. I said, wait, what do you mean they're coming out of the earth? She and Lefty had experimented on so many crop circle samples. And what they were testing was to see when a crop circle goes down, there's one sprig in the middle or a bouquet, something gorgeous in the middle. I call it a centerpiece. And then around that centerpiece, it looks like, phoomp, one swirl took that field down. It can be 2 acres, it can be 10 feet, but it looks like one movement swirled the field down and the walls are pristine. It's all standing except that laid circle. So as a crop circle researcher, I was different than the few men that I would go in with. I always needed a guy to carry my gear because my camera's like old school monster giant. So I had this wonderful friend who also knew his way around Southern England. Whenever there was a new crop circle at Hatbox Farm or East Kennet Long Barrow, he'd bang, nowhere to take us. So I had him with me. He carried the gear, load me in the middle. I'd be setting it up, and he was immediately on his knees going through the wheat to see human or ET crop circle. That's what they used to say, ET crop circle. I say Earth, ET us.
Well, how do we know the orb? You say there's orbs, and you got that on camera, right? There's two orbs that move around and communicate with each other to create this crop circle. And you got that communication on film, right?
Yeah.
There could be a way, you know, with all my computer science background, there could be a way maybe to, if we studied those orbs, to study that communication that they're doing and start to really unravel what's going on, because there's data going back and forth between them of some sort.
Well, you could do all that, or you could just talk to Penny Kelly and she'll give you the answer.
And what is the answer? She knows. She's been studying it.
You know, the amazing thing is the people in the industry that watch me win all the awards say, Patty, you're kind of woo-woo. Could you bring in some PhDs? Can you bring in some professors? Can you bring in people that the generic public respects? So I was like, really?
I know okay. That's frustrating, and I kind of come on at it that way too, which you probably yes. already realize. I know, and I got to say this, I know there are fields out there and industries out there that are beyond universities, but the university carries a prestige that the average person really respects. And we all know who've been on the edge of fields that when you're at the edge, that stuff really isn't as relevant as people think it is. But the average person really sees it, unfortunately.
Yes. So I said, okay, tell me what the public needs. Give me his name, and I will go call your master so that you can believe what I'm telling you is true, because somebody who has initials behind his name is going to tell you so. So I called the guy that everybody loves, and it took him about 2 months to get back to me. His answer was this. It appears to be an eyelash that fell on the original 1996 film. What we have is a straight line with two plasma balls of light and a little communication going beyond. And that was his answer. It was an eyelash that fell on the original footage. And then he said he called his buddy in England, and he told me the man's name, Peter Sorensen. And I said, oh, I know him. He said, well, I got a second opinion from him. So I wrote Peter, and I said, okay, foolish boy told me that it was an eyelash. I know it's not true. So what do you think? And he said, he never wrote me. He never sent anything. So, you know, again, here I am doing the PhD dance, and it was an eyelash. So I let it go. I quit caring about the people that don't like woo-woo. But the punchline is I went to Penny Kelly's house, and on camera, I held up the screenshot. Now, how did I find the communication? Let's talk about that, because it's why I know it's real. So I went to England my second year. I stayed for 9 weeks. I lived in the crop circles. Right from the beginning, they don't like Americans over there because most of us are whatever they think we are. And all I could say is, I'm American. I didn't vote for any of them. And then they let me in their circles. So they put me right into the front line, which was really, really great. They could tell I was serious. And I was there every morning at the research center, first thing. And so that's where you get in the front line. You're there at the crack of opening, you get your coffee, you get your cake, and you start whispering, okay, what happened last night? Where's there a new one? And you sneak off and you cavalcade out with another crappie from another country. Super fun. And they're just sizzly, fresh first thing in the morning. Oh God, it's so good. So I spent 7 weeks, 9 weeks, 9 weeks in the crop circles. And by the end of the first summer, second summer literally, but the first summer, 2006, I just did a few crop circles and it was rainy. But in 2007, I was serious and I was there at night, morning, all day long in crop circles. Actually, first time in my life, wore out my feet. My arches collapsed because I was hiking relentlessly in these huge boots, the big plastic wellies. You know, if it rains, I didn't care. Everybody went to the research center. I was the only one out when it rained. And when the pilots had a line of people and it's too windy, too rainy, they'd say, "Hey, mate, I don't think we can fly today unless there's somebody that doesn't mind." And I'd go,
me, I don't mind. So now how often did you see these orbs? Did you only see them once or did you see them on a continuous basis?
Okay, well, let's not call them orbs because we have different densities of those entities. So, and again, this is just my perception. But all of these things that were my perception kind of guessing, when I spent 3 weeks with Penny, she just looked at me and she kept saying, "You're correct. You're correct." That's when Crop Circle Diaries happened and I admitted all of the strangest stories of my life because Penny rationalized them and said, "Patty, you're not making it up. That really happened." So at the end of my first long summer, 2007, I went to the Glastonbury Crop Circle Symposium. We're going to get to this orb answer, I promise.
Okay.
And I realized that everybody on stage, one after another, was all my friends that I'd met in the crop circles all summer long. So at the end of the conference, I looked at the film crew and I said, "Can I pay you guys to drive 2 hours and do a day me filming all my friends in the crop circles? My family, my friends are not going to believe how amazing it is." So the crew comes over. I kept them for 12 hours. I brought all the greatest crappies in. None of the fakers, none of the humans making crop circles, none of the reporters that are misinforming, only the crappies that I spent days and nights in the crop circles with. That's why my movies are different. So I bring this footage home. I know nothing about making movies. I didn't hold a camera. I just hired a crew. But I directed and produced the shoot. And because I did a lot of fashion shows in my career, I was like, well, this is easy. This I can do. So I get home. I hire a kid on Craigslist. We lay the timeline. 77 minutes. I was like, what are the chances? My favorite number. And the gear is all hot. We've been on it for 15 hours. And I said to the kid, I think we're done. Put that Oliver's Castle Balls of Light footage at the end of the movie, and we're done. So we nailed it, and I said, okay, render, let's go outside and turn the gear off, let everything cool down, and then we'll come in like we don't know each other and watch the movie and see if it's done. So we're walking out to the deck, and I looked over my shoulder, and the monitor had this big blue orb on it, and it had beautiful edges and elements inside. And I was like, why is there an orb on the monitor? That's not even an orb in the movie. And now I'm staring at this orb, and the kid comes up and he looks at me and he goes, Patty, that monitor's unplugged from the wall. Mm. And then the hair went up on my arms and the goosebumps. I'm getting them actually right now, remembering that moment, because in that moment when the circle makers, her, us, them, came into my house in Boulder, Colorado, where I was editing with a 26-year-old kid on Craigslist, I knew that it was the same feeling exactly that I had in the crop circles. And this poor kid looks at me and he goes, you look strange. And I knew that then I was probably shifting a little of my appearance, and I'm staring at my arms going, okay. And I have no idea what's about to happen. But I said to the kid, and all of a sudden now there was a voice coming through me, and this is when the telepathy really whacked me. And I said, light the gear back up. We're not done. I thought we were going to go take a break. Nope. Light the gear back up. So he lit it up, and I said, show me the Oliver's Castle footage again where the balls of light lay the crop circle down. So he showed it to me, and I said, reverse the footage. Show it to me backward. Why? I said, I don't know. Just do it. So he showed it to me backward. And then I said, slow it down. He said, how slow? And I said, I don't know, 30%. And then we both just looked at each other, and I said, I'm not sure where that came from, but do it. So we reversed the footage. We watched it 30% slower, and all of a sudden there it was. I yelled, stop! And there was this binary code between the two balls of light and the Oliver's Castle footage. And in that moment, everything lit up like a blowtorch in my entire body. And I said, oh my God, I just proved that the Oliver's Castle footage is real. I didn't, they did, but I listened. And I think the thing about being telepathic or intuitive, there's one thing to have the gift, but it's another thing to learn to listen. And because of my fingertip problem and my loss of career, all I do now is listen. And I listen so well because there's so much more of me than I've ever had. The mercury actually made me surprisingly intelligent. I don't recommend it as a medicine, but that little bizarreness, only that rocket scientist could have told me that it actually benefited me. But the experiences that I had, I probably wouldn't have gone on those planes, you know, in the wind and the rain, had I not been a little off. I definitely would not have gone in crop circles at night unless I had had that interesting situation in my system. So I'm grateful.
Well, for people who are not telepathic, or maybe they are and they haven't tapped into it, how does that feel? And how many people do you think are telepathic? And are we all telepathic? I mean, can you give us a little insight on that? I know that the FBI and intelligence agencies actually use them to find, you know, to help sort out cases. And there have been studies to show that it's a real phenomena. Otherwise, they wouldn't be using it, and otherwise it wouldn't work. But most people aren't familiar with it and don't understand it. Can you explain it a little bit?
Well, I think we all come in perfect. I think we all come in with all the gifts. And it's the decisions in life that delete our greatest assets, like telepathy, like intuition, like consciousness, like intelligence. And when you have a system now that's forcing people to vaccinate babies with poison, what they're doing is destroying our species right now legally. So my mother will yell at me today if I say anything against vaccines. But I'm watching the difference in children growing up. And the ones that are not vaccinated are normal, beautiful children. But the ones that are vaccinated are not speaking yet, are not moving well, are falling down. I'm seeing it in my life, in my town. And I think that the chemtrails and the Glen Towers and the cell phones and all these things are what's making us not realize that we are incredibly gifted beings. And before I was poisoned, I knew I was psychic. I mean, I've been doing rituals since I was seven. Not witchy, not dark, not black magic at all. Strictly prayer for the planet. Strictly connecting myself with the elders. And luckily before the show, my fox showed up early so I could hang out with him. But I don't lead a normal life. I don't have a dog or a cat. I have a fox and a bunch of raven. And they come every day. And we sit outside. And so I have used wildlife for the last easily 10 years to practice my skills for communicating with ET, with other dimensionals. When you can learn to listen, and again, you're going to hear me say that a lot because that was a gift of not being able to do my shallow, wealthy physical life, but rather to learn to listen more. And when you're really busy and you're popular and you're hip and you're cool and you're always going out, you don't really have the time to realize your gifts. So I think a lot of people that have had things stolen that used to mean so much, they've got a real choice. Do I want to move into a higher consciousness or do I want to be a victim? And again, there's that wonderful dichotomy of shall I go stupid or shall I go brilliant? And I think that we're all sitting there right now, and this interesting war against the AMA, the FDA, the ADA, I mean, for crying out loud, it's unbelievable they're getting away with this. And then we've got this huge world of what the Native Americans taught us many decades ago that they've been using for hundreds of years, which is the peace pipe. And what happens with cannabis is it's saved my brain. It's saving people from cancer. It's saving people from all kinds of maladies. And that's why the pharmaceutical, I call them big P pharma, I can't imagine they're still in power much longer. And what we have with the crop circles is not only the ability to bring back the food supply, but when Levengood and Penny started working with the spinning plasma frequencies, creating crop circles, they realized that they could also use it on the human body to heal the human form. So let's talk about plasma, because to me that's important.
So what do you mean it heals the human form?
Penny and Lefty, their cooperation in the lab, why he picked her was because up till today she's written 23 books. Consciousness, telepathy, teleportation, kundalini rising, all these things about metaphysical consciousness, all the other realms, whereas Lefty was in the lab just strictly a scientist with his tools. When they came together, that's when the magic of crop circles had the ability to take shape. Physically, on a scientific level, they could prove that there were biophysical changes in the nodes. And the node, when there's a stalk of wheat, corn, barley, it goes straight up, and then it's got every 5 inches a little like elbow, a support. And typically, you know, it just grows up, and then it flowers on top, and the seeds come out, and there's your wheat, or there's your cob of corn. But what happens when they get hit with these spinning plasma vortices coming out of the earth is that there's a heat that happens to every plant that is laid down, that is bent over. And the heat is so extreme, bang, it happens quickly, that the node blows out. So you've got blown nodes. Sometimes there's like a black place and an opening where the steam had to escape. Sometimes it stretched them to be taller, and those are called elongated nodes. And you can't fake that. Believe me, they tried. All the kids in college, all the scientists in the lab, they were trying to recreate the microwaves on corn and they couldn't do it. So what we have is a physical manifestation that proves that something very, very hot and quick hit all those stalks of wheat. And when you've got 4 acres, you've got what? Hundreds of thousands of stalks. And when you look at a pattern, and some of them are circles, some are triangles, some are squares, in the same crop circle formation, that's complicated. So it's not just like a couple guys went in with boards and ropes, and they stepped and they lifted and they stepped and they lifted. Those are easy to find. When I was talking about the man that went with me in the crop circles that was always digging, he just wanted to know if they were bent or broken nodes. If they're broken, they're going to be broken for 3 feet across, because the board is about 3 feet long. It's got a hole on each end, a rope goes through it, a knot on the bottom, and the human circle maker teams that just think they're so cool and tricking the world will go in there with their boards and ropes, and they'll step down the wheat, they'll lift it up, they'll step it down again 3 feet forward. And so if you're intelligent, you walk into a crop circle, you go look, every 3 feet, if you've got a line of broken wheat, it's a human-made crop circle. Easy. But if you go into a crop circle and you start picking up, oh my God, look at this one, which is what we do all day long. Look at this one, you know, big bubble and elongated, all well, these great.
The human made ones aren't as nice either, right? They're not, there's a lot of issues with them, right? You can see tracks going in and out, and you can, it's just a different deal.
Right. The hair doesn't go up on my arms. I don't get goosebumps head to toe.
Even 10 feet before. But, is it even 10 feet before you even know what it is?
You know, you don't even know you're getting close to a crop circle until you actually see the wheat laid. These tram lines go on forever. And a wheat field is flat. So where the wheat is laid, you can't see it when you enter the field.
But you said that 10 to 20 feet out, you can feel that you're getting close to a crop circle. But when it's man-made, do you not feel, is there a difference?
Yes, absolutely. You feel nothing.
Whereas with the other ones, you can feel it 10 to 20 feet out before you even know you're close.
If you're sensitive. But my boyfriend, who wasn't, you know, like experienced like I was, when I got, you know, when the hair started, I turned around and looked at him. He was just so stunned. So yeah, it happened to him. And then the lady behind him, she just nodded. Yeah, yeah, I feel it too. So all of us felt it. And the first year, when I took my daughter, it hit me the first time also. And there was a lady that I had just met in Glastonbury that went into the crop circle with us. I didn't know her before. It turns out she's the archdruidess of Stonehenge for decades, Victoria Marsden. So she and I and my daughter went into the very first crop circle in 2006. And I knew nothing. I had no idea what to expect. But as soon as we got close, we're walking in really cold, rainy weather. The wheat is up to our hips. So our jeans are soaked from the hips down. And all of a sudden, I was like, whoa. And I turned around and I was like, do you feel that? And my daughter's like, yeah, I feel it. You know, like she didn't even want to admit it, but she was like, yeah, I feel it. And Victoria was, yeah, you know. So sure enough, 10 feet more, then it was like, we're here, and the thing is laid, and it was meticulous. And
what did you feel? Because your daughter felt it too, and she didn't want to believe it. So what is it that you thought you felt?
Chills and goosebumps, tingles.
Okay. So did your daughter admit to feeling that as well, even though she didn't want to?
Yeah. Yeah, it was chills and tingles and goosebumps. It's that in every formation. Every time I hit the entrance, as soon as I see it, it's this automatic response that I have where I bow. Every time I hit the doorway, I call it, when all of a sudden you see the circle laid, there was this automatic, incredible gratitude. So I would always bow. But I don't want people to think that all human-made crop circles are fake. This is a huge, another headache surprise for me. In 2014, I took a crew, and a Canadian TV producer, who I should have never trusted, into a crop circle. And I booked all my rock star people that are the real crappies over there. We had a great cinematographer. We had 11 cases of gear and a drone. I had never gone there cocked and locked like that. We were just, you know, and the day was perfect. And I introduced Sasha Stone to his first crop circle. And do you know Sasha Stone?
I've interviewed him, yes.
Amazing. I mean, probably the most well-spoken British man I've ever listened to. The trip in the car with the Canadian and the film crew and my guy that knows England like the back of his hand with Sasha Stone in the car. Oh, poor Sasha. Here I am, the American, sitting on the wrong side of the car, driving on the wrong side of the road with all the roundabouts. And I mean, in the first 2 minutes, he said, "Hey, Patty, can I drive?" And I said, "It's a rental. I wish I could let you, but I can't." So the poor guy's in the back for 3 hours with these Canadians. And so Sasha never stopped talking. Absolutely mind-boggling brilliant. So excited to go in his first crop circle that I was going to take him in. And so we get there, and we all get out of the car, and one by one, all three of them walked up to me, looked me in the face, and said, "Did you understand a thing he said?" I said, "Yeah, everything. I'm guilty." So I get the cameraman, we set up the gear, I'm walking in the crop circle so excited because the photo I had seen was good enough for us to drive 3 hours. It was way up in Dorset, which is really far from the epicenter, which is Wiltshire. And in the epicenter, we have so many crop circles, why leave? Well, there weren't very many in 2014, and this one was phenomenal. The pattern was tremendous. So I called Sasha in the morning and I said, "Come on down, we're going to, you know." So he got in the car, 3 hours, we get up there, we walk into the formation. I am so excited because it was a perfect day. I've got Sasha, a crew, a drone, the whole thing. And all of a sudden I'm going, I don't feel a tingle. I have no goosebumps. Oh, crap, there's no enhanced electromagnetic field in this crop circle whatsoever. And I'm trying to tame my thoughts because I'm like, don't blow it. You've got a camera crew, you know, let's roll with it and see how Sasha feels. So we get to the back area and there's five women are sitting there. And I said, "Do you guys mind if we do a little filming back here? Because a little story to tell." And one of the girls slightly knew Sasha. And so they, hey, what's up? So then we started filming. Now we're standing in the circle of this really unusual crop circle, five women sitting there. And Sasha and I are on camera. And I said, "You know, I'm a little confused. I don't have a tingle. I don't have a buzz, but there is, in fact, a sacred site up there and a monument over there." And the thing about crop circle consistencies is high 90 percentile, all of them are almost sitting over an aquifer of water. So water is always an element of crop circles, 97%, that to me is almost always. The other almost always is that they're always sitting over a ley line, located on a ley line, which is a direct line between two sacred sites. Wiltshire is sitting over the largest salt aquifer in the world. It's also laced with more sacred sites per square mile than anywhere else on Earth. Circle makers love it. And it's just vast farm fields that go for acres. So here we are way north, and we're in this crop circle, and I'm not feeling the buzz. But I'm seeing that we're on a ley line, and I know we're over an aquifer. And I said to Sasha, "What do you think about this crop circle?" And he said, "Well, to be honest, I was expecting to feel more. To me, it feels like a human-made crop circle." And I said, "Well, I got to be honest, I'm not feeling a tingle or a buzz, but it sure is gorgeous. And I'm really glad we're here. And it's a beautiful day." So we kind of, you know, concluded that it's a human-made crop circle. Oh, darn. But it sure is beautiful.
Was it, were the stocks different and stuff?
No. There weren't the broken, blown nodes. There weren't the elongated nodes. It was human made. So I said to the five women after we shut the cameras off, "Do you ladies have anything to say about this crop circle?" And the woman in the middle folded her arms and she said, "Yeah, we do. This is our crop circle." And I was like, "Do you mind if I hit the camera on?" So I turned the camera on. And these five women sat there and introduced themselves as the women in the quantum energy generator team, the QEG, free energy device. And she said, "We were in the Avebury Stone Circle yesterday with our complete technical team praying for a confirmation that our free energy device was going to work." And she holds up a photo and she says, here's a photo of our device. Here's a photo of the crop circle. It was a darn schematic of their device. They were meditating the day before for a crop circle to give them a confirmation, and it showed up. And I looked at the photos, and I put them in my movie Crop Circle Diaries. That was an answer, and humans delivered it with boards and ropes. So let's talk about those frequencies.
So you're saying they were intuitive, they listened to the answer, and they made it.
She, the Earth, yeah. She's alive, she hears us, she feels us.
But the humans made it with boards and ropes and walked around and made it.
But they made the pattern that was requested yesterday by some sacred people sitting in a circle working on a free energy device that the Earth definitely wants us to bring forward. So what we have is human element, Earth, and water in that particular crop circle. There was no buzz. There was no enhanced field. But the Earth answered those people's question. And they were incredibly satisfied. And in that moment, I went, oh, my God, so human-made crop circles can be real also. That's huge. So what is the science? Let's go into the real explanation. And again, anybody wants it in full, watch Crop Circle Diaries. If you want to see the communication between the balls of light, watch my first four films. When I found that communication, there was only one naysayer who saw it in the film and said, oh, Patty, it's a glitch. It's just a digital glitch because the balls of light, yeah, there's a binary code that looks like it's between them, but it goes beyond the balls of light. So it's not a neat communication. And I said, let me ask you a question. And while I'm speaking to you, can you tell me if my voice stops at your face or does it go further? Does it go beyond your head? Well, perhaps the plasma field is in action here. So in Crop Circle Diaries, Penny Kelly describes the plasma field as the reality that it's going to be the basis of our new energy system. It's why they're hiding this conversation so heavily, because they want to keep selling us gas and oil and poisoning the planet and hurting our mother.
Well, I know that plasma is a way that you can, there's something about plasma and space travel and being able to use plasma devices to go extremely fast in space, like 4 days to Mars, that kind of stuff.
Well, the entire field around us and within us and this chair and this shirt, everything's made of plasma. Plasma communicates instantly. Plasma spreads everywhere. And when we talk about your thoughts create your reality, it's your plasma field creating a response to your thoughts. So when we realize, Penny says in Crop Circle Diaries, that if I've got a glass here with water in it, when we can learn to advance our scientific understanding and measure the plasma field of the glass and of the water, then we're going to be able to recreate that field over here. And when we learn to measure the plasma field and manipulate it, then we can create pretty much anything we want, even without a 3D printer. But it really is about raising our frequency and our consciousness so that we can control our plasma field into a higher frequency of consciousness. Therefore, really enhancing our ability to be all those things that these systems today are trying to destroy. We all have the ability to figure things out. So when Penny said the greatest thing is that we're going to be able to recreate, the problem is if it gets in the wrong hands, then spinning the plasma field counterclockwise, they can destroy matter. And I think that's what's going on right now with some of the really dangerous people that I've encountered. They are, I think, carrying energy weapons that are spinning the plasma field negatively and hurting people. I've been hit twice.
That's all we have for today. Keep an eye out for part two.
And if you really like this content that I'm bringing you, please consider supporting on Patreon, patreon.com/SarahWestall. And for now, everybody have an amazing day.